Charles Hopkins, Jr., speaker this morning. Our brother Hank Davis, Jr., sermon title, Call to Discipleship. Scripture is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Scripture reader, Glenn Johnson. Presiding at the Lord's table, Jerry White and Nick Ciamantero. Closing prayer, Greg Shriver. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for worship service. We're thankful, Father, you watched over us as we slept last night, keeping us from dangers seen and from dangers unseen. Father, we ask our blessings upon everyone who is present today and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you would, turn your numbers to page 763. 763. Sing all three verses.
O land of rest for thee, as thy bed will, O my God, where thou shalt lay my armor, thy hand will. Will work till Jesus of will work till Jesus of will work till Jesus of will be ever home to Jesus Christ of
Thank you.
of His precious blood, the sinner perfect free.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning. Heavenly Father, that is a blessing to be able to rise from our beds to enjoy this wonderful life that you have provided for us, to be able to marvel at everything that you've created, to be able to show our appreciation to you each and every day of our lives. And we just also pray, Heavenly Father, that you are with us each and every step of this way, to know that we don't have to have any fears, any doubts, Heavenly Father, that we know that any conflicts we have, that you will be by our side to make sure that we resolve these any conflicts we have in a way that a Christian should do so, Heavenly Father, to know that we do not have to deal with any problems on our own, Heavenly Father, to know that we can do all things through you. And to constantly remind ourselves that we have a Heavenly Father that can overcome anything, Heavenly Father. There's nothing that is impossible when we have you by our side, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we will always remember this avenue of prayer that we can come to, that we don't try to resolve anything on our own, that we can come to you each and every day, any time, any place, Heavenly Father, that we can fall down on our knees, Heavenly Father, and come to you in prayer. I also pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with this nation. You know, we have so many problems, Heavenly Father, that have yet to be resolved. We see the issues that are happening overseas with the wars, the bloodshed, Heavenly Father. We just pray that a peaceful resolution can come, that there be no more bloodshed. We know that war is never the answer. We also see the results of the conflicts that is causing within our own nation, some of the violence that is occurring as a result. We just pray that people will realize that you have this world, your intent is for this world to be a peaceful place, Heavenly Father, and that we should come to you to be able to resolve our issues, to do things the way that you have written in your most holy word. If we follow what you have in the word, Heavenly Father, this world would be such a better place for each and every one of us to live in. We also pray that you will be with all those that were mentioned sick. We know the importance of our health, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would be with all the people that are caring for the needs of the sick, that you can be with them during this time, that you can guide them. You know, it's not easy at times, Heavenly Father, but we just pray that you will be with all those that are caring for those that are in need so they can be returned to their much-wanted health. We also pray that you'll be with our brother Hank as he prepares to deliver the message this morning. We pray that we will give him our much undivided attention, and that which he shares with us today that we'll be able to apply to our daily lives. Also pray that you'll be with the leaders of the congregations that continue to tend to the needs of the congregation, needs of this building. Make sure that our worship service is in order and also in accordance to thy will. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with each and every one of us as we begin this new week. That you continue to strengthen us, Heavenly Father. Pray that we can still set the right example as Christians, that whenever we come into any type of situation, that we will handle in a way that will be pleasing in thy sight. We just pray that you continue to forgive us of our sins for these things that we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your numbers to page 300. 300. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 3.
All the things. On the 23rd of this month, we as a nation have a day of Thanksgiving, which is all in all of itself very important. But we are also members of a greater nation. We are members of God's kingdom, His nation. And we celebrate this day of Thanksgiving each and every first day of the week, as Jesus has laid out in that upper room where he broke the bread and took the fruit of the vine. This is the example that he brought to us to remember him each and every first day of the week, our day of Thanksgiving as Christians. As we bow in prayer, let's give thanks for the wonderful blessings that we have, that we are here together as a family to break bread with our Lord Jesus and to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are here together, that we are able to celebrate this Thanksgiving meal with you. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your life, that your son's life, that we might be able to commune with you in this way. Father, we certainly are not worthy of such love. We are sinners, Lord. But you loved us so much that you gave yourself willingly that we might be able to commune with you and to be able to remember you, knowing that one day we'll be able to partake of this meal with you in heaven on that wonderful and fateful day. Father, as we take of the bread now, we ask that you open our hearts and you open our minds to all the wonderful, wonderful blessings that you've given to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bow with me as we offer thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're so thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, Father. All the examples and teachings and wisdom that he offered, Father, but ultimately his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father, become that perfect Lamb of God without spot or blemish, Father, blameless, yet bore all of our sins on that cross, Father. And Lord, at this time, as we're about to partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood, Father, we just pray, Lord, that we clear our hearts and minds, Father, to clearly reflect back on Christ, Father, reflect back on the cross, reflect back on his sacrifice for us, Father, and that in doing so, Lord, we might be able to partake of this cup in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
At this time, has there been anyone that's been overlooked in partaking of the Lord's Supper, either with the bread or the fruit of the vine? Please signal now as you raise your hand. Moving on. We also have another idea of Thanksgiving, which is to give back as we've been prospered. But the blessings that we have been prospered far outweigh what we have been blessed with in our daily lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave all of himself that we might live. Yet we are asked to give a little back to show our love for him and his kingdom, that it may continue to grow and that we may carry on the needs of the church. As we go in prayer now, let's ask God and thank him for the many blessings that we have been bestowed. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have indeed shown us. Father, we thank you that we are here together, that we may be able to help each other, that we may be able to encourage each other. Father, we thank you that we're part of this community, that they may see that we are here. We are that light on the hill. We are that beacon in the night. Father, we ask that as we give back to you, we ask that we are able to understand that it's not just of our wallets, the money that we give, but it's just a sign that we love you. And we know that this is just a mere way of showing that we love that. But we also ask that we can grow your kingdom, Lord, for we know that you do not wish that any should be condemned, but all should be saved. Father, we ask that all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 858. 858. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 808. 808. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and I'd like to ask all those that can't stand to stand. 1, 2, and 4.
Come be there of the Lord, and let our joy be known. Join in the song with speak of Lord. Join in. Beautiful, 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 beauti
Scripture reading today is from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Once again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says the following. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And now, let's give our undivided attention to Brother Hank Davis, Jr.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Good morning, church. It's always, always, always a good morning to be able to get up, to be able to rise up out of our beds, to be able to have the sun on our face, to be able to feel the crisp wind of this November day. It has truly, truly been a blessing already before we did anything. We need to just take the time to stop and thank God just for today. It's always a pleasure and it's always an honor to be able to stand before you and to be able to give another portion of God's word. If you're visiting with us this morning, let you know you are our honored guest, that we hope that at this point that the service unto today has been both pleasing, edifying, and uplifting to you. And as always, when you come and you fellowship with us, we ask that you don't rush off, but give us an opportunity to meet you. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5:14, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have so much to be thankful for, as Brother Jerry was saying at the Lord's table this morning. We have just so many things. We have so many freedoms, so many choices that we sometimes take for granted here, that we should sometimes just stop and take pause and just realize just how truly blessed we are. In fact, just yesterday, we celebrated Veterans Day, which is a day to thank and honor and remember our nation's military veterans, those who put their lives on the line to protect the freedoms and to protect our freedoms and to protect our choices. You know, my father, who passed away in 2007, was a Korean War veteran, and actually last Friday, November 10th, would have been his 94th birthday. I'm watching my family over there. And so when we think about Veterans Day, the being the next day, which is the 11th, for my family, it becomes a very special time to remember him and his service to this country. So to the veterans that are in our audience this morning, we want to thank you again for your service, and may God continue to bless you each and every day. We are all blessed. We are all blessed with the freedom to make choices in our lives every day. You know, some of those choices can be just as simple as, what do we want to eat for breakfast? Or, you know, what outfit do we want to wear? Other choices can be a little bit more difficult, like, you know, whether to take a job or not, whether to move, whether to get married, and then after you're married, you know, whether to have children. Some choices are truly life-changing, and a lot of them are life-altering. Like last Sunday, for an example, many of us in the audience today had an opportunity to witness a life-changing and life-altering choice made by one of our young people when Nolan Shriver made the choice to follow Jesus and be baptized. Amen. So for many of us, you know, if we were raised up in the church, or if you had relatives that were going to church or were, you know, pretty consistently, and it was around us, you know, they would make it really easy for us. They'd make it really plain for us, wouldn't they? They could say, you got two choices, really. You can either follow God and go to heaven or not and burn in hell. You know, so it wasn't really hard for us to make it decide that direction when given those circumstances. However, as Christians, we need to understand that especially for new Christians and young Christians, that when people are considering making the choice to follow the Lord, and even for those who don't that are trying to make their choice, even for those who don't know him, that the choice, that the call, that call for discipleship is not only life-altering, it is not only life-changing, it is positively life-giving in this world, so that one day we may dwell in heaven, so that we may live life everlasting. So the question is, what is discipleship? You know, Brother Jason isn't here this morning. He and I had this conversation, and I told him I was going to do some study on this. So wherever you are, brother, I hope you're listening. So, you know, what is discipleship? Well, we've got to first determine what a disciple is and what is his function. And I know we read about this all the time. It's all over the New Testament. Well, a disciple is described as a student, a pupil, or a learner who follows the master teacher. We know who we're talking about this time. We're talking about Jesus. And during the time of Jesus, his teaching was very relational, very personal, and very broad. When we read in John 15, 14, and 15, again, it's John 15, 14, and 15, it says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." A disciple is considered a friend of Jesus. This is a very relational, very personal relationship. Think of the relationships you've had with your closest friends, someone that you would call a closest, your closest friends. These are people that in most cases you could talk to about anything, no matter how good, no matter how bad, and they always had your back. You know, I've got a very dear friend of mine. I remember one time years ago, he called me up at like 12 o'clock in the morning, asked me to go pick him up. He was in Auburn Hills. His car had died. He was in Auburn Hills, and I was in Ypsilanti. And I called him a few choice words that I won't share with you today, but I went and picked him up, and I went and I brought him home. And, you know, I talked about him all the way home, but he said, man, I love you. I said, I love you too. And that level of love is what we're talking about when we're talking about a disciple. A disciple that Jesus Christ calls us his friend. So a disciple in general is the practice of discipleship, rather, is the practice of emulating the life of Jesus, imparting his values and his reproducing his teachings. Therefore, Christian discipleship signifies a relationship with Christ, following him and adhering to his way of life because his teaching shapes our lives. His teaching shapes our lives. So it is clear from Scripture that Jesus wants to be disciples as his disciples to be like him. Look at Luke 6 and 40 where it says, the disciple is not above the master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In other words, as students, are students better than their teacher? Are students better than their teacher? But when they are fully trained, will be just like their teacher. It's like when you were in school. You were going to school, and a lot of times your favorite subject was taught by someone you could relate to. Someone who is going to kind of keep you focused into it. Someone who is going to motivate you. Someone who's going to make sure that you continue to do this thing you like to do. Now, I'm not talking about all of it, but you know, you really got into it if you had a favorite subject and that teacher was on it with you. That became your favorite teacher. So this is what Jesus is saying. Become relatable to me. Become relatable to me, and you can teach as I did. Now, that's heavy. Become relatable to me. Understand what I did. Understand why I did what I did. And you can become, and you can teach, and you can do as I did. That takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? Because it takes away all of our perceptions of life and everything like that. Because I'm just going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to do what Jesus did. So moving on. So what's the difference? Just before we go on. So what's the difference between the apostles and the disciples? I know a lot of you probably thinking about that. I see apostles all the time. I see disciples all the time. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. So the apostle, which can be a disciple, we'll get into that a little bit later, an apostle is a messenger. He is one who is sent, while the disciple is the student or the learner. So let me say it again. The apostle is the messenger. He is the one who is sent, while the disciple is the student or the learners. Apostles were primarily men who were handpicked and met at following and followed Jesus during his life and were called by him to initially spread the gospel. You can look at that in Matthew 10, 1 and 2 and Luke 6, 13. Disciples were any of Jesus' followers who had devoted themselves to learning from him as we are today. Again, so we are devoted to learning from him as we are today. So all followers of Jesus can be disciples, but not all disciples can be apostles. And let me explain that one. You can look at Matthew 13 and 11, when Jesus said to his apostles, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So he gave some things to his apostles, the men who actually walked with him, that he didn't give to everybody else. And even to his apostles, he would say in John, there's many things I'd like to say to you, but you can't bear it all. Thus the reason why the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, had to come. Because the kingdom of heaven is so vast that man cannot comprehend it all. But he gave a lot to his apostles. those that he gave powers of healing, those that he gave powers to do the same things that he did, those messengers to be sent. However, the teachers, the learners, and the students, the disciples that we are doing today, that we are continuing to have to study and learn and understand from all the knowledge and the wisdom, these are the disciples. When we look at the Apostle Paul, he was both a disciple and an apostle. We can read that in Acts 14:14. Why? Because he had to go through the same sort of criteria that the apostles went through. And it was the apostles themselves that named him in Acts 14:14. Now, there's people today walking around and calling themselves apostles. Now, from what I've read, and if I'm wrong after service, someone correct me. But from what I've read, it was like the apostles themselves, those who walked with Jesus Christ, was the ones that appointed Paul as an apostle, no other man. And that he had to see the risen Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus, which you can read that in Acts chapter 8. So if there's anything else that's going on today in 2023 where we've got apostles walking around, please let me know. But from right now, anything I see right now, we're supposed to have our disciples. So, continuing on. So what are the qualities of a disciple? What are we expected to do? Now, I know we looked at learners, we're called learners and pupils, but still, there is a specific criteria that we have to meet to be disciples. First and foremost, you have to love the Lord. That seems pretty simple, right? You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's Deuteronomy 6:5. See, disciples must love him with their whole heart. They must set aside idols and obsessions and give their whole heart to the Lord. We have to strive to love God unconditionally as he has loved us. We have to understand that no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what's happening, that we have to love God. We have to trust in his word. We have to trust everything that he has done, that he is greater than anything that we could ever be. And we have to give that love to him first. We have to give that love to him first. And we have to strive to do that daily. How do we do that? We continue to talk to him. We continue to pray. We continue to do those other things so that we can continue to build the relationship that we're supposed to have with our Lord. Secondly, we got to study his word. We got to study the playbook. How do you know what to do if you're not studying the playbook, if you're not understanding where you're supposed to go, how you're supposed to lead, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to behave? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we can go to John 8:31-32. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? The truth will set you free. So we have to follow his word. There are things that we don't know what we don't know. So we have to follow what God is telling us and what Jesus is trying to tell us to do. Read his word, see how he acted, how he responded to certain things, how he responded when he was mocked, how he responded when he was challenged, you know, how he responded when there was people in front of him that he knew were sinners. Did he condemn anybody or did he show them love? Did he show them compassion? This is very, very important because we live in a world right now where it's real easy for somebody to point the finger. It's real easy for somebody to condemn somebody else. It's real easy for to kick somebody when they're down. It's real easy for us today to bring up somebody's past when we get upset with it. But to show somebody that I love you, to tell somebody, you know, it's going to be all right, to follow the example of what Jesus did, you know, somebody that he knew was a known sinner. When we look at the woman who was the adulteress, and he said to go and sin no more, I will not judge you. You know, I won't condemn you, as the Pharisees had tried to do. Can we do that with our brother and our sister today? That's the question. So with any good student, you have to. The more you study, the more you understand the material. The more you understand the material, then the more you can apply it correctly. And oh, by the way, what you don't understand, you can always go to the teacher in prayer and ask for answers. Right? So another thing we must do, as I said before, we've got to love the Lord, we've got to study his word, and we've got to love each other. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment that I give unto you, to love one another, as I have loved you. You should also love one another, because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So if you have love for one another, it's going to show. Your light's going to shine. We got to love each other because Christ loved us. And with his love, he wants us to know God's plan of salvation. God, Jesus even tells us this is the second greatest commandment, is to love one another as yourself. That's in Matthew 22 and 39. Throughout the Old and New Testament, we see the same to care and love for each other. See, we can't go out here and say we love the Lord and then say that, you know, we hate our brother. Scripture tells us that we are a liar if we do that. So we have to strive to do that. Nobody said it's going to be easy. You know, there's some folks out here that, you know, we struggle with. But we have to figure out a way to love them anyhow. That's what Christ did. We have to be imitators of Christ. Imitators of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. This is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul encourages us to look at those of faith who imitate Christ and learn from them. We need to love the way Jesus loved and to teach the way Jesus taught. It is amazing what we can learn from simply living as Jesus did and for others and not ourselves. I've said that. So there's so much we can share with each other when it comes to living like Jesus. It is amazing. You go back and you just go back through the New Testament and just think about how he was tempted. We think about how we're tempted sometimes by people that we don't even know. You know, tempted by things, tempted by materials. Can you imagine being tempted by Satan himself? Can you imagine just some of the situations that we have going on in our life right there? And someone can just say, listen, if you just, you know, do this, I can give you that. And I got it right here. And our flesh is so weak sometimes. That's why so many people are in trouble, whatever that trouble may be, because they allow that temptation to get to them. But here's Jesus, that he went through everything that we won't have to go through, just to show you how it's done. Okay? See, I'm tempted by some sort of addiction. I was tempted by Satan. You know, I'm hurt. I'm sick. Yeah, I died on the cross. You know, I've done things, and I want you to forgive. Well, they did this to me, they did this to me, and I forgave. And you need to forgive too. So these are things that we can do by learning from Jesus. Another thing, teach. So after we've done all this studying, after we try to love each other, after we've studied his word, after we try to imitate and live like him, then we got to teach what we've gone through. It's not for us to keep. It's not for us to keep. Reading the Great Commission where it says, you know, go all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever shall believe it shall be saved, and onward. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, we should be educating others on what we know about God and his word. So we need to teach what we know. We're not supposed to keep it. We're supposed to apply it, but we're also supposed to teach it. That's how people see it in us. And like I said, it's not easy, so we must remain steadfast. Our walk with God will be met with many challenges. But how we deal with these challenges will be an example of our faith. From Matthew 28 and 20, it says, lo, I am with you always. Jesus encourages his disciples that even though they will face hardships, and even though death might come because they follow him, that he is still bigger than all of it. And we have to understand that what those keys are, that regardless of how tough it is, he is with us. And the keys to true discipleship are perseverance. We need to persevere when we're challenged. It says here in Hebrews 10 and 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done all the will of God, ye might receive the promise. This is also about service. There's scripture out there where Jesus washed the feet of his apostles, and we are supposed to be of service too. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 that as each one has received a gift, minister to another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Amen. And we have to have discipline. To be a disciple, you have to have discipline. In fact, the root of disciple is discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I have discipline of my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself shall become disqualified. And we have to be dedicated. Like I said before when I started, this is a life-altering, life-changing thing that we are doing here. When following Jesus and then discipling others, we need to be dedicated to what we're doing. We cannot have half-hearted work when teaching others. Jesus warned us of what it would cost to follow him, and we need to keep that in mind when teaching others the importance of what it means to follow Christ. So that is what a disciple is. That is what discipleship is. So what is this call to discipleship? So what is this call to discipleship? Well, we know from scriptures, and we read in Matthew 4 and others, it says that while Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw two brothers. One was Simon, the other one was almost Peter. And the other was Andrew. And they were fishermen, and they were casting their net into the lake. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Right then the two other brothers dropped their nets and went with him. Jesus walked until he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they were on a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus asked them to come with them. At once they left the boat and their father, and they went with Jesus. And when you go to Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let them deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So with these passages, they say to me is this, is scripture clearly indicates that it is not so much about who is called, however, who is doing the calling. It's not about what the call, it's who is doing the calling. Jesus is calling simple folk. He is calling people like you and me to take up our cross and follow him, because it is important that we are called according to his purpose. This is why the young man had a problem when Jesus told him to give up all of his treasures and follow him. He walked away sad because he was doing everything else. But because we cannot be slaves to idols, we cannot be slaves to money, we got to make sure that we're doing everything that Jesus asked us to do. If we're not willing to do that, then we're not imitating him, right? We got to be able to give up everything for him. And this is a life-altering, life-changing thing. The normal expected outcome of discipleship is evangelism. Evangelism means teaching. It is the spreading of the Christian gospel by public teaching and public preaching or personal testimony. By tying our knowledge, wisdom, and struggles to following Jesus, teaching your wisdom in him in your life to others. So when we're talking about wisdom and time, when you're going through something, you can help somebody. When you've gone through something and you know you have Jesus in your life, you can help somebody because you can understand what they're dealing with. You can be empathetic to what they're going through. You can have sympathy. You can have true sympathy. You can have true compassion for someone. I remember I was talking to Brother Wiley a few weeks ago, and we was talking about preaching and stuff, and we was talking about this one young preacher, and I guess he was in his 20s or something like that. And I said to Brother Wiley, I said, now he might be very well versed. He might know the Bible backwards and forwards. I said, but he can't preach to me. And Wiley said, why? I said, because he ain't gone through nothing. I said, you ain't gone through nothing. You're 21 years old, you ain't gone through nothing. I wouldn't have known that when I was 21 years old. But at my advanced age now, I know you got to go through something to understand where God is at in your life. Okay? And everybody out there is a witness to that. So when you start telling people about Jesus and what he's done for you and trying to emulate what he has done, you've got examples. You've got receipts. You can come up and say, I remember I was this way, but God. I remember this was going on with me, but God. I remember this situation happened with somebody, and I had to change the way I did things. And that's because I saw what Jesus did, and I had to change the way I did things. but God. You got to go through something. Again, I'm not trying to discourage anybody who's young out there to take the pulpit. God be with you. But once you go through something, it's more than words, folks. And y'all know that. It's more than words. So, thus discipleship leads to evangelism, which leads to discipleship, which leads to evangelism, which leads to discipleship. You follow me? So that's how that works. So one of the greatest responsibilities that we have as Christian disciples is to make sure that those who are ready to follow Christ are allowed to do so as soon as possible. Let me say that again. Because we're not promised tomorrow, and life is but a vapor. So when we see those, we come across those, our light is shining, and we see those who are ready to follow Christ, we must move as soon as possible. I take you to Acts 8, 26 and 37. And we can read the story about Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch. And Scripture tells us that the Lord's angel said to the Apostle Philip, go south along the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip left. An important Ethiopian official happened to be going along that road in his chariot. He was the chief treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The official had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now on his way home. He was sitting in the chariot reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip to catch up with the chariot. Philip ran up close to and heard the man reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The official said, how can I understand unless someone helps me? He then invited Philip to come and sit beside him. The man was reading the passage and said, he was led by a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened up he not his mouth. He was in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The official said to Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So Philip began at his place in the scriptures and explained the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to a place where there was some water. And the official said, look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And after he had come up out the water, the Lord's Spirit took Philip away. The official never saw him again, but he was happy as he went on his way. So the Lord may send us in a direction that we had not planned to go to do his work, as he has sent Philip. Okay? We must be prepared if that was to happen. We need to be dedicated. We need to be obedient. You never know when the Lord is going to put somebody in your path, and you're going to have to be able to tell them you need to tell them about Jesus. The Lord may place you in front of someone who wants to know more about Jesus. We must be ready to teach. We must be ready to show love and give our testimony on how great our God is. And most importantly, when someone says they are ready to follow Jesus, we must act as quickly as possible. We cannot linger. We say all the time that tomorrow is not promised and life is but a vapor. We can no more hesitate when someone says, I am ready to be baptized. I am ready to follow the Lord. We can no more hesitate in that matter, no more than we would hesitate when a woman who is ready to give birth to a child to say, my water broke. I'm ready. We move like crazy if that was to happen, right? We're hurrying up, calling the hospital. We have to do the same thing. Someone's life is in the balance when we're doing it. We cannot linger. And nothing can stop us from doing that. Now, granted, there's still more teaching to be done. As I said before, it's a life-altering event. It's a life-altering thing. We're going to learn. We need to be learning and teaching and studying all the time, all the days of our lives. And if we come across someone that says, why do you have so much joy in your heart? It's because of the Jesus that I serve. It's because of the God that I serve. I want to be like that. What do I need to do? And we should be able to tell them what to do. And they say if they're ready, we need to go. There may be more studying to do. There will be more studying to do. But when someone is ready to give their life to God, give their life to Christ. We need to be ready to act and act right then. Jesus said, and again, with discipleship, we cannot hesitate, we cannot linger, and nothing, and I mean nothing, can get in the way of us following Jesus. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. The call to discipleship. So if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand God's already done his part by sending his Son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for the remission of sin. And whoever shall believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Your part. Again, start talking about choices. You've heard his word. Believe in his word. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized and come up out the water and walk in the newness of life. And God alone adds you to his church. Acts 2 and 47. Not by vote of man, but God alone adds you to his church. If you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, know one thing, that God loves you. He's going to always love you. His love is unconditional. Answer your call to discipleship. Remember that the Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate your return. And if you are in need of prayer, prayer works. There's no greater thing that God's given us than the opportunity to go to him in prayer about anything, about anything. So may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hark the gentle voice of Jesus call tenderly upon your ear. Sweetness calling the Master holy. He will teach, you will hear. Whatever your needs this morning, let them be known. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you all.
For the gentle voice of Jesus call lay